Blog Talk Radio.
WIJSF.com. Women in Jazz South Florida Inc. is a nonprofit educational organization that promotes women musicians globally through events, concerts, performances, clinics, lectures, workshops, articles, interviews, newsletters, courses, contacts, research, history, archives, websites, film, audio and video recordings, and recognition. Visit us at WIJSF.com. You're listening to blogtalkradio.com/musicwoman with your host, Diva JC.
Can he?
a love song. That was just beautiful. And it was by Amber Weeks. Amber Weeks is one of the talents that is managed by Barbara Collins, my guest today. So good evening, everyone. This is Dr. Diva JC here in Chile. I know you don't believe it, but it's slightly chilly. South Florida. So I'm going to bring my guest in, Barbara Collins, who is calling in from...
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, I'm here. Yes. I'm on the line.
And you're calling from where?
I'm calling from Pasadena, California.
Pasadena. Okay. So, Barbara, that's a beautiful song from a beautiful songstress.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to seeing her live tonight in Delray
Beach.
Yes,
she's going to be at the Arts Garage.
Yes.
Yes.
Beautiful. So, Barbara, let's talk about you. How
okay.
old were you when you were first touched by music? How did
oh.
you come to music in your life?
Well, I had music in my family. My father played a little trumpet, a little guitar, and he was a big jazz fan, so we always had it at jazz playing in the house and other kinds of music. And then when I was 15 years old, I really started listening to jazz. A lot of people, friends were listening to rock and all these other genres, but I was listening to jazz. John Coltrane, Bobby Hutcherson, Art Pepper, all these different jazz artists back in the day. So that kind of threw me into it. I started going to jazz clubs at a young age. And then later on, I got the privilege of working and becoming a booking agent in a jazz agency up in California, Berkeley, California. It was the Berkeley Agency. So that got me started.
Okay. Now, did you ever study music?
No, I didn't. That's not true, because I had piano lessons when I was a young girl, and then I had some flute lessons in my 20s, and I really wanted to play flute. But there were a couple of things that held me back. One, I wanted to play jazz flute, but there were no real role models at that time for women playing flute and also playing jazz flute. And also, just couldn't practice all that much every day to become a real musician. So I ended up going into the business and representing musicians, and a lot
okay.
of flute players in my first job, so that was interesting.
A lot. So were many of them women, the flute players?
Can you say that again?
Were many of the flute players women?
No, not in the beginning. I know a lot now, but when I first started, and you were talking about 35, 40 years ago now. So when I first started, there were not a lot of women that I knew of except jazz, except when my first job with the Berkeley Agency as a booking agent, I represented Toshiko Akiyoshi, who's a piano player and a composer and a band leader. So I represented her big band. So that was... you know, she's one of the first women that I represented in music, in jazz. I remember going to see Patrice Rushen playing at Keystone Corner in San Francisco. She was very young. I was young. I got into the club. And that's really the first time I really saw someone. She was playing straight ahead jazz. And it was very inspiring. So she was one of the first to kind of, you know, I thought, okay, well, you know, she's doing this. Maybe I can do it. But again, I didn't want to practice day in, day out. So.
Right.
But it was inspiring.
Okay. All right. So you have your own agency now, right?
I do. Yes, I do.
Do you
have my own agency?
How long have you been with your own agency?
Well, at least 20 years. Mm. And before that, I worked in booking agencies, and I worked in John Levy Enterprises, which was a management company. We had Nancy Wilson and Joe Williams, and at one time Shirley Horn.
Mm-hmm.
So then I worked at ICM, which is, you know, one of the bigger agencies here in Los Angeles. But I just decided I wanted to work with both developing artists and established artists. So I started my own company.
Okay.
Probably almost 25 years.
Now, do you do mostly large venues or strictly jazz clubs? You know, what is the range?
Okay. Well, first of all, in my business, I eventually expanded beyond jazz. So I don't just work with jazz artists. I work with blues, world, Latin, and other genres of music. But as far as bookings, I book everything from the smaller clubs to private events to the large venues like performing arts centers, major festivals, and I book both nationally and locally, nationally and internationally.
Oh, where internationally?
Oh, I've been all over at this point. In some cases, I've traveled with the artists, which has been quite an experience. But I've been in Tunisia, I've been in Chile, I've been in Canada, I've booked artists in Europe, Asia, Indonesia, Japan, so yeah, England,
okay,
various places.
So you've been around the block.
Well, they have, the artists have anyway.
Uh-huh. Okay, I do want to mention that Toshiko's husband, Lou
Bakken,
is on the recording of my song, Sweet Return, by Freddie Hubbard. Yeah,
okay, Freddie Hubbard was an artist I worked with in the Berkeley agency also.
Oh, what year was that?
Well, that was a long time ago.
This recording was because I introduced Patrice Rushen at the Robin Hood Dell in 1983.
Okay.
And Freddie Hubbard was the leader of the Cool Jazz All-Stars.
Mm-hmm.
And he went into the studio and did a recording with them, and he recorded my song.
Oh, wonderful.
It's the title of the album, Sweet Return. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, that was a long time ago, 1983. Mm-hmm. Well,
okay.
That's interesting because we, you know, Toshiko is featured in my book, Amazing Music Women. When I teach about music women, I teach about her. She's one of the women.
Correct.
And I've been doing this since 1997. So it's interesting that you were her manager. You know.
Well, I wasn't her manager. I was a booking agent. Her booking agent.
Okay.
And this was quite a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it really, you know, stands out in my mind because she was such a talent. And in those days, she was high up. She was like number one, you know, up on the downbeat charts and across the country, a lot of people didn't know who she was, so I had to kind of educate and book. And that was kind of sink or swim. I didn't have any classes teaching me how to be a booking agent. I just did it.
Right.
Sink or swim.
Right. So talk to me about that, because for my listeners, Barbara is one of the promoters who is featured in the next Music Woman magazine. And I found that to be necessary because a lot of musicians would not work if it weren't for booking agents, managers, producers, and the like.
Thank you.
And DJs. And DJs.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a two-part question for you. First,
okay.
Is it different booking men and women? And second, are DJs necessary for you to know in your efforts to book?
I don't know if it's different. How it and an artist is an artist. I find that women often want a lot more detail about a booking, and men are a little bit more cut and dry. So that's one difference. And you know, of course, it's been challenging over the years to book women who play instruments, because, and it still is, because there's so many men, so dominated, particularly in jazz, dominated by so many male musicians. And women have to try, like, you know, at least twice as hard to get a name, to be included, to get bookings. It's changing, thankfully, but it's taken a long time. Tell me the other part of the question again, the second part.
Okay. Yes, our DJs. You know, you talked about the chart.
Oh, DJs. Yeah.
How do DJs drive the charts?
Well, DJs are wonderful, particularly when they love an artist, like they love Amber Weeks. She's just been embraced. She's done so many interviews. You know, she's been on the charts. She reaches out personally to the DJs afterwards to thank them. And they're very important. Now, I have... You know, as a manager, talk to a lot more DJs. As a booking agent, usually it's the manager or the artist, or they hire a promotion person. I work with Jim Igo a lot out of New York for radio promotion. So, of course, his company, he and his colleagues they're the ones dealing directly with the radio stations usually. But yeah, I think it's very important to get radio airplay, and to have, if you can have relationships with the DJs, it's wonderful. It can really help an artist in terms of getting exposure.
And the charts, where do they
play? The chart.
Yeah.
Well,
talk
you know,
about
again. Well, if an artist is on a chart, you know, it really helps. In the jazz charts for a jazz artist, you know, I can really talk it up then about the fact that they're on the charts, they're getting more airplay, it helps the tour, it all fits together. Anything that's promotional for the artist is helpful for the booking agent, because it's easier if they're known in a certain market, or if a DJ will help by playing them or interviewing them. Everything, all this exposure really helps in terms of trying to get bookings.
Uh-huh. Now, does the artist approach the DJ, or does the booking agent or the agency approach the DJs?
No, it's generally the, you see, I've done a little bit of everything. So I've, you know, as a manager, I also did publicity. So there's different ways you can go about it. You can, you know, you can send out to the different radio, send your product out to the different radio stations. You can call up the radio stations and find out, introduce yourself and make contact and then send it out. You could try to get an interview on the radio station, or you can hire someone to help with that process. You can hire a publicist, you can hire a radio promotions person. So there's no, you know, real answer. It's just, it depends on the artist, it depends on their budget, it depends on how established they are. But I have talked to people directly at radio stations, and I've had many artists interviewed on radio stations.
Well, tell us about Amber.
Well, Amber, Amber has been singing for a while, but she had another job, and she had it for a while, but she quit to become a full-time singer. And she, her first CD, well, she had a CD a long time ago, but the first of the more recent CDs came out right before the pandemic. I mean, literally right before. Her CD release show was right before we had a lockdown here in California. And, of course, as you know, 2020 was a terrible year for artists, because they had to cancel everything. Everything shut down, all the venues shut down. So that, you know, was unfortunate for her. But people still played. She still got her music out to the radio stations, and they were playing. They loved it. And, again, she started doing interviews. The only thing she couldn't do was tour, which was unfortunate at the time. But during the pandemic, she got really ambitious, and she produced two more. Well, she had a producer, but they worked together and did two more CDs, a Christmas CD called The Gathering. And she took a CD title, Round Midnight. She had done Round Midnight a long time, years ago, and she reimagined it in terms of different scenarios with each song. So she has a whole concept behind that. But, yeah, so she basically has these three CDs that are being played all over the place in this country and other countries. So she's on the way.
Okay, well, let's play Pure Imagination. Yes, I have everything.
Do you have It's All Right With Me? That's the one she wanted to have played.
Yes, I'm going to play that when we go out.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but I normally do not play standard music. I play the music originally from the composers that I'm interviewing.
Oh, okay.
But because this is your artist, I'm going to allow for that because she's given us her permission, okay?
Yes, she has.
Yes. So we're going to play Pure Imagination by Amber Weeks, who I have the privilege of going to see at 8 o'clock tonight. And I wish she would call in, Barbara. You know, text her and tell her to call into the show.
Okay.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Okay, Amber.
Okay, Sue.
Close your eyes. Make a wish. And come with me and we'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look and you'll see into your imagination. We'll begin with a spin, traveling in a world of our creation. What we'll see will defy explanation. If you want to view paradise, simply look around and view it.
Anything you want to,
do it.
Want to change the world?
There's nothing to it.
There is no life I know
to compare to pure imagination. Living there, you'll be free if you truly wish to be.
Oscar Brown Jr.'s music, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. There's no album without his music.
Well, then where do you want to go to sing?
Well, first stop, my parents' hometown, New York City. Next stop after that, Florence. What do you think?
Oh, I think that's wonderful.
Could I go, too?
You gotta come along. I think it's gonna be fun.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. We're gonna have fun.
Well, that sounds like a pandemic discussion, talking to yourself, rhyming.
That was actually a duet. I'm sorry.
Two different people.
Yes, it's Sue Rainey, the Grammy-nominated singer. Sue Rainey was doing a duet with Amber Weeks.
Oh, it's their voices. Are the timbre in the voice
similar.
Is so similar that I thought she was just harmonizing with herself.
No, she worked with Sue Rainey. Sue Rainey was her vocal coach for many, many years, and is a good friend, and so that was a duet.
Beautiful. That was beautiful. So, Barbara, while I have you on the hook, for 4 years, I had a wonderful agent in Switzerland. She booked me in beautiful hotels and restaurants and some local festivals. What is your criteria for the artists that you book?
That's a good question. I like to talk to artists initially and find out if they're proactive in their own careers, how professional they are, what kind of track record they have in terms of product, recordings, live performances, where have they performed, etc. But it's primarily I want to work with professional people, obviously talented, and easy to work with, because at this stage of my career, I just don't want to to deal with difficult artists because I've done that in the past and I don't need to do that at this point. So, yeah, I want to see how prepared they are professionally. Do they have a manager that would help? If they're more established, are they on a record label that's known, or do they create their own product, which a lot of people do these days? And do they have a publicist? Because that will help too. So I've worked with artists just getting started to, artists that are very well known in the industry. So it kind of depends where people are, but those are the qualities that I look for.
So who are your favorite clients? Can you say that? Top two favorite clients.
Well, not I don't want to name names.
Not Amber.
I wanted to mention, some of the other female artists I've worked with over time. Work with Ann Patterson with the, Maiden Voyage, big band. I worked briefly with Phoebe Snow before she passed away. Sheila Jordan, I'm working with now. I've worked with Sheila E. also. And I work with Mary Stallings, who's a wonderful jazz singer. Yuko Mabuchi, who's up and coming, but extremely talented pianist, jazz pianist. So, I've worked with a number of, and work with a number of female jazz artists. I don't really want to say who's my favorite because...
Over the course of your career, I don't mean right now,
Yeah. I also work with Sweet Baby J, who you probably know is now the artistic director of the Palm Springs Women's Jazz Festival. I would say Nancy Wilson was a great artist to work with because she'd been in the business for so long, and she was such a hard-working and talented artist. So that was an experience for me. It was a good experience, a good learning experience for me.
Okay.
I'm working with Sheila Jordan now, and she's a sweetheart. She's 93. She just turned 93, and I booked her on the 2022 jazz cruise.
Okay.
It's amazing to me that she's still going overseas. She's still performing in cruises.
Wow.
Actually, it's kind of full circle because the very first agency I worked for, I think Jim Castle, who was one of the owners of the agency, I think he booked her many, many years ago. So some things come around for full circle. It's interesting.
Well, we are very happy that our darling Gail Johnson brought you to us.
Yes, Jasmine Pink. I also represent Jasmine Pink and Gail Johnson. So, I'm grateful to her for connecting you and I.
Absolutely.
And the organization.
And so we are working on a group membership because we have right now 4 constituencies with a lot of people. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we just added a jazz camp for women from South Africa.
Oh,
we
great.
We have instrumental women in Arizona with Laquita Chambly. You know her?
Yes, I know her. Yes, I do.
Yes.
She and I may be doing some projects together.
Right. And see, we're all in it together, but, I heard about you from Gail, but I also heard about you from Laquita, and you heard about me probably from other people. And it's so beautiful because we are the matriarchs. We're the elders. And we're the ones that can lead the talented ones in the right direction, you know?
Yes. Yes.
So I'm going to play. Well, not yet. Not yet. I want you to talk to us about what your advice is for a young woman coming into the music industry.
Well, I think that young women need to be persistent in their careers. I've seen so many, not just women, but men as well, but with women, they have more challenges sometimes, more obstacles to overcome with attitudes, particularly in the jazz world. And they need to be persistent. They need to not give up. I've seen talented people make a stab at their careers and actually, you know, have some pretty good results. But if it doesn't happen fast enough, they've withdrawn and gone and done something else. And it's a shame because Amber is a perfect example of somebody who has been dedicated and persistent in her career. And look what's happening. You know, she's all over the place. She's played Europe. She's being played. The DJs love her, you know. I mean, it's just amazing what's happened with her. And, you know, you need to kind of keep your focus. And even through the ups and downs and the challenges. So, you know, and also to realize that your career, there are expenses involved in the career. If you want to keep it going, you know, you have to kind of keep initially putting money back into your career, into your promotional materials, into your recordings. Keep updating things. Try to invite the press to come to your shows once you have enough of an audience. So you build your audience, then you invite the press, and then you get reviews, and then you can use that to promote. So I always say, too, you know, get a really strong following in your home base and then start expanding out. So those are some things. I was teaching for about 15 years at the Musicians Institute with people that just basically got out of high school. They're just starting their careers. And I always tried to really encourage the women to go forward. And I think that it's more open now. There's more support. So that helps.
Okay. I see you teach agents and booking. Now,
I'm not doing it currently, but I did for a long time.
Oh, okay.
But
so
I do workshops. I still do workshops.
Uh-huh. So do you teach people how to be an agent?
I have done that, but the main thing is I've tried to empower musicians so that they know more about the business, so that when they're out there, they won't get taken advantage of. You know, they'll have an overview. So even if they have a booking, they don't want to be a booking agent, they want to be an artist, they'll at least have a background and an overview, and they'll know what's happening, and then they'll know what they should expect and what they should ask for.
Right.
So we go over everything. Yeah.
But that's good. That's so necessary, too.
Yes, it is.
People do not understand that it's a business. You know, you need a tax ID number. You need a business plan.
Yeah.
So they go at it for the stardom,
mm-hmm.
and they don't understand that, well, there are six keys to being successful in the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in any business, and that is branding, marketing, networking,
yes,
teamwork, negotiation,
yes,
and accounting. If you don't do those six things in any business, you're going to fail. So do you have a publicist to brand and market you?
Yeah.
And do you have an accountant to keep up with your money? And do you have a lawyer to negotiate your contracts? You know, and then you have two more fingers left on a hand for the music that you play and your the way that you look, the way that you live. You know, so it's I have to say that I stepped out there in my 40s. I was always singing in, you know, Philadelphia, New York, South Florida. But I stepped out there and I went to Europe and I toured for 8 years. I had a magnanimous time. I was with everybody, you know, because you meet everybody at the jazz festivals over there, right?
Yes, you
and
do. It's so fun.
I did my master's thesis on the cultural politics of commercial jazz.
Oh, wow.
And I interviewed Quincy Jones for that because I had stage time with him in Montreux, Switzerland.
Right.
You know? So the one thing that I would tell every single musician is to make a plan to leave home.
Yes, absolutely.
Travel. Get out there.
Yep.
And you don't have to wait for a tour because if you go to a country and you meet the musicians there, you'll work.
That's networking, right?
Yeah, you will work. There's I would compare the opportunities for musicians in the world to the Grand Canyon.
Oh, uh-huh.
Only if you're willing to explore it.
Yes. Yes.
You know.
Well, you need to, they need to. Artists need to go out and tour, experience the world, experience different scenarios that they're going to encounter on the road and on the stage. And it just makes them stronger musicians.
But
so,
it
also I would definitely encourage that.
Gives you a new network. You're not just networking with the, and this word is a curse word to musicians. Local, the local musicians. You have to get out into the world. You have to become a world musician. You have to become notable around the world. That is your charge. It, you know, no famous musician hasn't been to many different countries. You know, unless they did the, you know, the beatbox thing and they conquered social media. I'll put it that way, you know.
Yeah.
But our average star has been around the world three times, at least.
At least, yeah.
So Sheila E., what is it like working with her?
Well, she's a, you know, consummate professional because she's been doing this for so many years, and starting from a very young age. And obviously, I represent her father as well, Pete Escovedo, and I actually booked the whole family into the Disney Hall, and that was a great concert. I mean, most professional artists, if you make sure that everything is right, as right as can be. In terms of what they require on their riders, and you communicate with them and they know all the details, and they get paid. It makes it so much easier because there's so many things that could go wrong, but you have to be on, as an agent, you have to be on top of that. And working with her was a pleasure. You know, and also I booked her in a college, and she did a speaking engagement, and I was really impressed with her speaking. She was talking about all the things she's done in the past, and she had back screens, and she's just a great, great speaker. So, and she wrote a book, and she talked about that as well. So, yeah.
What's her book about?
Really fun. Well, it's like an autobiography, and it talks about a lot of different. It's pretty fascinating. She's pretty open about a lot of her experiences. So that's
maybe we can have her as a guest. Would you like that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not currently her booking agent, but of course, I'm very close, to the family. And sometimes she does work with Pete in some of the bookings that I do, if the budget is big enough. I could extend that invitation to her.
Yeah, ask her. I'd love to have her on the show. I've been doing this since 2008, and I'm probably up to over 500 composers, 500 musicians.
Yes.
And she was very close to Prince, and
yes,
I was a princess. I was a princess.
Okay.
Well, I have two stories about Prince that are very deep, but that'll come at another time. But anyway, do you know Jeannie Cheatham?
I never met her personally, but I know who she is. Yes.
Yeah, she's in San Diego. She's one of our honorary members, because Jeannie is 94, going on 95.
Mm-hmm.
And she is a live wire.
Okay. That's great.
And, so we have one more song. You like this one, It's All Right by With Me.
With
It's
Me,
All Right
yeah.
With Me by Amber. So I'm going to play this.
Okay.
We'll be back. Amber Weed.
Okay.
It's All Right With Me.
The wrong time and the wrong place, though your face is charming, it's the wrong face, it's not his face, but such a charming face that it's all right with me. It's the wrong song in the wrong style, though your smile is lovely, it's the wrong smile. It's not his smile, but such a lovely smile, that it's all right with me. You can't know how happy I am that we met. I'm strangely attracted to you. There's someone I'm trying so hard to forget. Don't you wanna forget someone? It's the wrong game with the wrong chips, though your lips are tempting, they're the wrong lips, they're not his lips, but such tempting lips, that if some night you're free, dear, it's alright, it's alright with me. Thank you. I'm strangely attracted to you. There's someone I'm trying so hard to forget. Do you wanna forget someone too? It's the wrong game with the wrong chips. Though your lips are tempting, they're the wrong lips. They're not his lips, but such tempting lips that if some night you're free, dear, it's alright, it's alright, it's alright with me.
And that's Amber Weeks. She will be at the Arts Garage in Delray Beach tonight for two shows, 8 o'clock and 10 p.m. For more information, go to artsgarage.org, and tickets are still available, I believe. I'll be there, and Barbara Collin is her booking agent. So, Barbara, what would you tell the world if you had a megaphone right now? What would you tell the world?
Well, I would say continue to support women in music and women in jazz, because there are so many talented women out there, and we're still discovering them, and we'll always be discovering them. So, you know, support them. That's my message. That's one of my messages.
Now, were you at the Jazz and Pink event at the church in October, about 3 years?
We were on the panel together, I believe.
Oh, my goodness. You know, aging is a difficult thing because you forget things. But I kept looking at your picture, and in my mind, I said, I know this lady. And then I even went back to, I said, I wonder if she grew up in New York and went to St. Clement's, because you look like somebody that I went to school with. But anyway, that was it. That was it. That was an enormous event, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And, you know, Gail Johnson is just such a talent, and pulling those things together, you know, on top of everything else she does, is amazing.
Well, she's a talent, but more than that, she's a genuine human being.
Absolutely. You know? And we're born on the same day.
Oh, really? What day is that?
Yes, February 24th.
Okay.
You're Pisces.
Okay.
And I have the pleasure of, you know, booking, I've had the pleasure of booking your band, and they, onto the Playboy Jazz Festival, and they were a huge hit, Jazz and Pink. I encourage everybody to take a listen. If you're not familiar with Jazz and Pink, you should be.
Well, they're going to be in Atlanta on my daughter's birthday. And
oh, wonderful.
Gail just agreed to get her a complimentary ticket. So today, we were both blessed with complimentary tickets from you and Gail.
Wow, that's great.
It is.
Yeah.
Because I know Mimi will enjoy them. I saw them first in, I think it was Hertzboro, Alabama.
Wow.
At the Alabama Women in Jazz Festival. And, first I think I saw them in Birmingham, and then in Hertzboro, and then somewhere else. I can't really recall. Georgia, somewhere.
Yeah, they've been a lot of places. Yeah.
Yes. But I came there and when I met you, and I met Sharon Aronson and Melissa Manchester. Remember that?
She was on the panel.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That was the wonderful...
I met Gail. No, I was going to say I met Gail. I won a ticket. Some kind of a Nash. I forget where. I won a ticket to Norman Conner's in a local, at a venue in Southern California. And that's how I met Gail, because she was there. And we talked afterwards. It was just one of those things, and one thing led to another. So,
now, do you know Radha Bodapasina, the harpist?
No, I don't know. I didn't know her.
I'm going to play her going out, but she's not playing harp.
Okay.
She's singing. And
okay.
You do know Maria Antoinette, though. Maria.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, my dear, I'm so happy to have you here. And
yeah, thank you so much.
You know, I can
thank
do
you so
one.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Let's recruit some of these ladies, and I can do more interviews and put them in the newsletter and promote them, okay?
Absolutely.
We're
going to
have a group
Absolutely.
Membership, so hang in there.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
This is Narayana. Blah, blah, blah. I don't know the whole name of it. By Radha Bodapasina. And Barbara Collin, thank you. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you so much.
Misericordia.
WIJSF.com. Women in Jazz South Florida, Inc. is a nonprofit educational organization that promotes women musicians.